Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop. How's everybody doing out there? George and I are thrilled to have with us tonight our good friend David H. Lawrence the 17th. Hi, David.
Hi, George. Hi, Dan.
There you go. Nicely done. We're going to talk about some cool stuff, especially around the idea of New Year's resolutions and why aren't you doing the stuff you need to do to succeed in 2022. So stay tuned for that. It's VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver Home Studio Master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional-sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the VoiceOver world today, letting you ask your questions and giving you the latest information to make the most of your VoiceOver business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, JMC Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, good evening, everyone. Hey, George. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
B-S.
Oh, my God.
Perfectly in sync every single time.
Yeah, sort of. Anyhow, we've got a great guest tonight, David H. Lawrence. We're going to come up. He'll be coming in and joining us in just a second. And, you know, as we watch the opening of the show and I look at, like, how we were set up, oh, 4 or 5 years ago, when I think we recorded a lot of that, things have changed a lot. Of course, we've been doing the show remotely for so long because of the pandemic. But we're going to try and get back here in the studio with a much simplified thing. You know, I can, you know, use all the cable we had to make a suspension bridge.
Oh, man, it has simplified things, especially now that you can use iPhones for cameras for most purposes and switch everything wirelessly and all this stuff. It's getting easier for sure. I'm looking forward to going to the next version of the VOBS studio version. 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. What version is it?
We've changed a lot of things in here, but it's still the same old nice what it used to be, which is my
just story. More radios.
Yeah, a lot more radios. I mean, just, you know, the ones I got here.
Are you hanging out your radio repair shingle yet?
Yeah, actually. I haven't had a chance to actually go and do any house calls.
But, all right, we got one of potential. Hopefully you get to pull that off.
I know exactly what's wrong because I think he's got the same unit as me. And
I saw it sitting there. I was like, that looks exactly like Dan's radio. When I saw it, I was like, I know who's going to fix that radio.
Yeah, it's my Zenith right here. It looks like that. Yeah, okay.
It's a lot like that, yeah.
Okay, I know how to fix it. So if you got any old tube radios, I'll be happy to fix them. So tonight on our very show, we're going to be talking with David H. Lawrence the 17th, and, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about fear, getting stuff done that you need to get done, and David's done it all, so I guess he's gotten past a lot of his fear. Let's introduce our guest. David H. Lawrence the 17th is an American television and film actor, voice talent, network radio host, internet entrepreneur, podcaster, demo producer, teacher, and author, best known for his role as the puppet master on the NBC sci-fi series Heroes, and he's also sponsor of VOBS and owner and headmaster of VOHeroes.com. Let's welcome back to our show David H. Lawrence the 17th. David, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. I am following the rule that I must always wear a gray t-shirt when guesting on your show.
Apparently I'm following that rule too tonight.
Yeah. And I'm and I'm wearing my typical weird shirt, of which I have.
You always wear like a Hawaiian shirt or a print shirt of some sort. Yeah, because everyone can see you this time around as opposed to just hear you.
That's true. Yeah. I've got my Telefunken shirt on tonight.
Very cool.
Oh, cool, man.
Tubes and stuff.
I didn't notice before. Awesome.
Yeah. No, just my shoulders. Anyway, great to have you back. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And of course, we appreciate your support of our show and everything. But you've had quite a career so far, and it covers the gamut of communication, as your introduction said. How do you do it all?
Well, part of it is being, you know, a senior citizen almost.
That helps. Yeah.
I always love how little we think about our mortality when we're young and how much we think about our mortality when we're about ready to like determine what we're going to do with the rest of our lives.
Right. When are we going to grow up? Yeah,
exactly. And so I don't know. I think I have kind of seen shiny butterflies fly by my eyes and been distracted by things that have happened in the time that I'm alive. Technology, radio and television, the internet, and then, you know, with people basically saying, oh, wait, you know how to do that? Could you show me how to do that? Sure. That gave me a joy that I never thought that I would have. I didn't think I would be, at some point in time, a teacher, certainly a teacher of thousands of people, because that's where I am at this point. And I get a joy out of that like you wouldn't believe. I get a joy out of the transformation that I'm sure you see it when you work with your clients.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know,
they that's can't what we're all do, doing.
Yeah.
They we're can't all teaching, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. They can't do something now. You show them, help them practice it, and then they can do something. And that's like so joyous for me. That and I didn't have a word for it before, but when I learned the word transformation, when I learned the word, advancement, acquisition of talent, that was just great. So I mean
you're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, are you still doing a national radio show? Are you still doing the podcast? And okay,
so podcast,
yeah
podcast I do. I'm not doing a podcast as often as I did over 12,000 episodes of a podcast between the time of the stone age of the internet in the mid 90s, before it was actually even called podcasting. Because I was on the radio, on actual radio, once a week with my tech show. I did a show about online and technology and stuff when AOL was the bomb. but it was only on Sundays.
Right.
And so I was like, how do I remind people during the week to listen to the show on Sunday, this coming Sunday? So right around that time, Progressive Networks was founded, which was the original name of Real Audio.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, yeah.
What a lot of people don't know is that, yeah, you could stream with Real Audio, and that was crazy in and of itself, but it just sounded like crap. It was nobody had, everybody had 2400 baud modems or 56K modems at best.
Right.
Broadband wasn't a thing yet. And yet, what you could also do with Real Audio is you could record an actual file and save the file. And if you played that, if you double-clicked on it and played it with the Real Player, it actually sounded fairly good. It sounded as good as, if not better than, slightly, AM radio, which is what I was on most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I would record a file. I would record a 10-minute daily wrap-up of the tech news that was going on at the time. You know, what worm was just discovered, and what was the new Mac PowerBook, and where was Windows 95 in its development process, whatever. And I would record that, and I would attach it to an email message and send it out to what ended up being over 6,000 subscribers every single day. And during the course of doing that, I caught the attention of Geico. I was in DC, and I got a call one day from Geico, and I'm like, do I even have Geico insurance? Why are they calling me? So they said, no, we've heard, it was called the Personal Netcast. And we were wondering how many subscribers you had. And I said, let me check. 6,340. Ah, great. Would you possibly want to put a spot in your podcast? How much would you charge for that? So I was actually sponsored podcasting before podcasting was invented as a word. And I had no idea that I was going to make that kind of money for the next 6 years as they sponsored my podcast.
6 years running. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, then, you know, at that point, it was only a short time after that until Dave Weiner created the enclosure tag for RSS and RSS, you know, and then it started to become actual podcasting. So me and Brian Cooley, we were doing that. Brian Cooley from CNET Radio.
Yeah.
We were doing that and enclose a file or send people to a page that had a link on it. Long before podcasting was a thing. And I had happened to be able to work with Brian at CNET Radio for a long time after that. And we would talk about it because we were geeks and we didn't have anything else to talk about.
And that's what geeks do. Yeah. Let's get into, you know, the real topic tonight. And, you know, everybody makes New Year's resolutions, whether they've been like, you know, I should make, you know, it's like, well, what could I do if I was going to do that?
Whether you do it or not, you're thinking about it.
Right.
You're thinking you're not going to do it, you're thinking you're about it.
Yeah. You feel guilty if you don't. I mean, right. And there's all sorts of things that you can make resolutions about, mostly, you know, to break bad habits or lose weight. What are some of the New Year's resolutions you see from your students and colleagues that are voiceover related?
One in particular that I hear them say all the time, I have to take them aside and say, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. One very common one is, I'm going to book more work this year. Or, I'm going to make X amount of money this year and stop screwing around. And I'm here to tell you, those two things are not in your control.
That is correct. You know,
you can certainly have them as a wonderful goal, and you can do things to raise the possibility, raise the likelihood that you'll be booked on things. But, you know, we often think we have more control over the booking process than we actually do. You know, the whole notion of getting booked on something requires the cooperation of others. Most importantly, the person that's going to hire and pay you. So you can't control their decisions. You can't control what they do. You can try to be as attractive as you can if you want to. I wouldn't suggest it. But if you want to, you can play the game of, how do I get them to love me? How do I get them to hire me? How can I make my voice just a little bit deeper so they can't avoid me? And I just feel like, you know, there's a better way to approach that, and there's a better goal to declare or you know, habit to get into. It's not just about breaking bad habits, it's about creating new habits that replace those habits that aren't serving you, you know?
Right.
And that's part of what goes on. But the whole notion of even approaching this is mind-numbing for some people. It stops them. They're like, oh, this is a mountain that I have to climb I can't even see the top of. And there's lots of ways to help fix that.
Yeah. I have always found that it's harder to set goals than to actually achieve them, which I've always found fascinating. You know, it's like,
interesting.
Yeah, it's like, well, what do I really want to accomplish? Once I know exactly what it is, and I know the specifics of what it's going to take to get there, usually I get there and sooner than I usually plan. You know,
you think it's because you're just really realistic about your goals, or?
Well, that's the thing.
Let me ask you and George a question.
Sure.
If you were to think about the word goal, and if you were to think about the word dream, what would be the difference for the two of you between those two words?
Well,
a dream seems a little more unobtainable to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And perhaps more of a superlative as opposed to something very concrete.
Okay. So I've heard it said that a goal is a dream with a deadline.
Mm.
A goal is a dream with a map. And Listen, there are tons and tons of inspirational speakers and quote unquote life coaches that will tell you exactly how to achieve everything you want to achieve if you just give them $12,000. And it can mm-hmm. come down to some very simple delineations. You know, I'm not a believer in The Secret. I'm not a believer in the attraction theory. I'm not a believer in all you have to do is ask and you'll be able to manifest it by that action. I have a feeling that's a little bit more work than that, but there are ways to go about doing this. And for me, they kind of come down to organization and giving yourself credit for doing what you do to get there. So we can talk about whatever about that you want, including the very first step, which for me is what I see a lot of my students and clients really stopping at, hesitating at, getting right to the vestibule, getting right to the doorstop, and then going, yeah, I think I'm going to go check my email. I'll be right back. And then off they go, you know? So how hard is it for you to start projects?
It depends on what the project is. Depends on how important it is. Is it something that other people are relying on? Is it, that sort of thing. I mean, I've got responsibilities and they have to take the priority.
So it sounds like accountability, right? Accountability.
Accountability is
accountable to somebody.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm really good at coming up with ideas and starting projects, but then I get lost in the, I know what I want to achieve. I know what the goal is. It's the roadmap to get there is challenging. The logistics, do I have to create a startup? Do I need to get money to do this? You know, all those things, that gets really intimate. I get hung up on that.
Do you find it fun when you figure that out?
When you figure it out? Yeah, of course.
Is it fun? Great.
Yeah.
There are lots of people who figure it out and go, oh, that's what I have to do?
Yeah.
I hear that one a lot. Well, that does happen sometimes. I realize that the logistics to get there are not something I'm just not quite really willing to do. Or it's not so great of a goal that the journey to get there is worth taking it to get there.
Yeah. And all of us on screen and all of us watching, we form kind of a self-selected group of people. We're into voiceover, and it is somewhat of a confined space in terms of the things that you have to know. When you're first getting started, it can be absolutely overwhelming to get all of the little paint pots dropped onto the palette so that you can dip your brush in them when you need to, right? From the tech to the performance to the mindset to the business things that you need to know, which are all the things that I teach with VO Heroes, because I want you to have those colors when you need them. But given, we're not doctors, you know, we're not neurosurgeons, and there's a lot less for us to worry about and a lot less that's in our control. So that's one thing that you can kind of take to heart and go, oh, okay, well, that's good to know. You know, are there new things coming down the pike all the time? Yeah. You know, the business is changing. We know that the business has changed a great deal since the early 2000s, late 1990s, in terms of how auditions are acquired, how they're delivered, whether we get to go to studios or not, you know, things like that. So you need to, but given the grand scheme of how things have changed in our world hasn't changed that much. And in fact, it changed in a way that was to our advantage during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm sure I've heard stories, and certainly for me, it's been the case that the last few years have been among my best years ever in terms of income, in terms of projects, in terms of just getting things squared away, because I didn't have that pesky going outside and going and doing things to get in the way, you know? So anyway, the accountability thing is very big. And I think a lot of people, when they first set up their New Year's resolutions, they just say, I'm going to do this. They don't tell people about it. It's like, I'm going to do this on the down low, and they'll come back in March and they'll see the new 90-pound version of me or the new non-smoking version of me. And that can be a real challenge on top of a challenge when you're not accountable to others or you don't have their support. If you don't have people's support in doing the things that you want to do, it's also a pride thing. I did it on my own. I didn't need anybody's help. And yet people that have support are generally more likely to succeed at what they want to do than those who do it on their own.
I totally agree. If you're just joining us, our guest is David H. Lawrence, the 17th. And we're talking about, you know, the changes you need to make in your life, you know, especially related to New Year's resolutions, which everybody makes. And, you know, why do they fail? Why do they succeed? And if you've got a question for David talking about this sort of thing, you can throw it in one of the various chat rooms we have on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook Live or if you're watching on YouTube, there's a chat room there. Jeff Holman is monitoring both of those things and will relay those questions to us. And we'll get to that in the next segment. So if you got a specific question about what we're talking about or a comment, throw it in there. We'll be glad to see what it is you have to say. Well, since we're talking about, you know, you asked us what our resolutions are. We actually haven't asked it. I know what I want to do this year. What are some of your resolutions for 2022 that you've thrown by the wayside or have really gone after so far?
So far, I haven't made any.
Oh, well, that makes it a lot easier.
I think that sometimes people are hesitant to not make a New Year's resolution. It's the thing to do. You know, you got to do it because everybody's doing it. And I've made them in the past. A few years ago, I made a New Year's resolution that I was going to do a new video podcast episode every day for 365 days for the entire year. And my goal was to up my game in terms of how I look on camera, how I sound on camera, really to the point where I could rely on my video setup the way I rely on my audio setup in my audio studio, where I can just simply come into this room, flip three switches on the wall, like any other electrical switch, to turn my three-point lighting on, and flip one switch to turn all the rest of my gear on, and know that the only thing I have to do other than that is to take this expandable pointer and touch the screen. I'm going to do it for you so you see what happens. I've just gone out of focus because now it's focused on my brick wall. And now I'm going to touch it again. And it's back to being focused on me. That's the only other thing I need to do. And I'm ready to go. Now,
I love it. I love it.
Do I have other things that I need to do? Yeah, I have to memorize my script. Or I have to set up my teleprompter, which is already set up, you know, but that's all done via Google Docs and sharing. And it's fairly straightforward. And I think that part of what you get when you really hone and refine and make a commitment to upping your game is paring away the unnecessary and leaving behind the things that really matter. I need to be in focus. There's no way that I'm going to win this game if I'm not in focus. A lot of other things I don't need to worry about. If I get them solved and press a button, throw a switch, tap a screen, and it's done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that has been, I don't know, there's a concept called Strengths Finders. Strengths Finders is this inventory that you take, and it tells you what your psychological strengths are. And one of the strengths, and I forget what the name of it is around simplification, around making it, you know, bulletproof and brain dead simple. And that's one of my top strengths. So when I teach people voiceover, I'm naturally drawn to a piece of gear that is very easy to use and also fairly high quality for what we do for a living. I'm more than happy to use the gear that I recommend to my students myself. And I have options to use other stuff. But I'm really attracted to those things that end up being, oh, that's what I can do. And it's lather, rinse, repeat. I do it once, I reset, and I do it again. I do it once, I reset, and I do it again. And as artists, we're sometimes drawn to that notion of, I don't ever want to do the same thing twice. And I am so the other side of that coin. If I could find something that I could do over and over and over again, it would make me money, I'll do it. You know, I look at working on camera, working on television and film, and doing voiceover in that way at the next level up. Sure, all the scripts are different, all the projects are different. But for me, it's using that acting skill that we all have over and over and over again, right? Listening skills, acting skills. So I didn't make a resolution this year, just to answer your question completely. I haven't made any resolutions this year. And I also don't look at January as the only time during the year that you could make a resolution. It just so happens that it has that reputation, that rep, that it's just a good time because there's a J at the beginning of that month. What about June and July? Try those. Who knows? Yeah, maybe you could do something. You know, I mean, when we were in school, we made all kinds of resolutions every September. Or every late August, right? Because that was our year, as opposed to a calendar year. It was an academic year, right? So anyway, I didn't make any. So who am I to talk? But I have made them. I have made them in the past and broken them within minutes. You know, I'm not going to drink this year. Where's the bar? You know?
Yeah. Usually they're gone by January 3rd or 4th. You know?
The things that I've read is the majority of people who make New Year's resolutions break them by mid-January. And, you know, that's not a great track record, but that's not your problem or your credit. Because what other people do, that isn't going to affect what your decision-making process, or at least it shouldn't. You know, it can become a nice excuse. Well, you know, everybody breaks their resolutions by mid-January. I'm no different, you know, but it's like the stock market, you know, past performance or performance of other issues is not indicative of the performance of yours or current performance, you know?
Right. So maybe we need to change the theme here a little bit from New Year's resolutions, which is, you know, a traditional thing and the people do that. And I like the idea of, well, why don't we start at another J month or an F month? I can think of at least one F month.
I think the big thing that people might want to consider to do is, rather than make a resolution about what you're going to do or not going to do in the future and creating a habit around that, is the replacement that many people have certain versions of. James Clear in Atomic Habits says, instead of making a resolution about what you're going to do or what you're not going to do, how about a resolution about the kind of person you're going to be? And then you have the freedom, like George was saying, to create your own path, to create your own map to that kind of, I'm going to be the kind of person who does more auditions. I'm not going to look at, I mean, a lot of voice talent look at auditions as a pain in the ass. Because you can have dozens of auditions coming in every day, depending upon how many avenues of audition input you're taking advantage of. How many casting sites are you on? Are you on ACX? Do you have, you know, existing clients who are sending you stuff? Are you repped by an agent? Is your more than one agent? Do you have agents sending you stuff from all over the country? You know, sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for because you just might get it.
Yep.
And, you know, you wish for an agent and then you wish for more than one agent and then they start sending you auditions and you're like, I have to sit down and record these. I can't just like, you know, be happy about the fact that I'm getting auditions, you know, so the notion.
Never looked at it that way, but.
Well, you know, it happens.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens to some people.
Yeah, well, it happens and it also becomes a burden rather than a blessing. And so one thing that you can do is to take a look at, you know, where you are and where you want to be. Right. And that can be different than what I'm doing and what I don't want to be doing or what I want to be doing differently.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense. Once again, our guest is David H. Lawrence, the 17th. We're talking about goal setting and doing the things you need to do to succeed, especially in the voiceover business. You were just talking about auditions, and I had the delightful opportunity a couple of years ago. You invited me to hear Michael Kostroff talk about auditioning and auditioning Psycho 101. And a lot of stuff that he said just continuously resonates with me. But, you know, the last statement he says is, look, if you're going to audition for an Arthur Miller play, you know, for 3 minutes, you get to be in an Arthur Miller play. So give it all you got. And that's what you've got to do with auditions, is you've got to get in there and you've got to have the desire to want to do it and go over the top, I guess, on some things, or at least really have a clear understanding of what's happening and not just like, oh, here's more stuff to read.
Exactly. And remember back to that time when you wished, prayed, begged for just one audition. Mm-hmm. Can I get my first audition? Please. I don't know where to find it. I don't know where. Can you help me get an audition? Just one. I just need one to show what I can do. You know, and then we move on. The rules change as we move through our journey as performers. The rules of success change. The rules that challenge us change. Our metrics for success change. You know, the ways that we measure ourselves. And, you know, there's another phrase that pops up every so often. Next year, wouldn't it be great to be where you'd hoped you'd been now? You know, where you hoped you would be now. Think back to what you thought a few years ago. Like, you know, I kind of am interested in this, what is it called? Voiceover thing? You know, I moved from voiceover and radio to on camera. And it was after I moved to on camera that I really started to understand why I loved voiceover so much. Mm. Not because on camera was more difficult, but there were so many parallels that were presented in terms of on camera. And also in on camera, I actually went to school for that. I never went to school for voiceover. It was, you know, practical experience from the mid 70s doing radio and doing commercials and you know, other voice work. And so I'm absolutely self-taught. I've certainly had many opportunities to attend sessions with masters at what they do, and I've added knowledge over the years. But with on-camera work, I went to acting school and on-camera school because I didn't know that much and I wanted to get there faster. You know, if you want to get to a great chain faster, get knowledge from George. If you want to know many, many things about voiceover, including gear, including approach to performance, get with Dan Leonard. You know, accelerate what you know and what you can take advantage of by gaining knowledge through training. And that's what we try to do with VO Heroes. But I actually got formal training and I looked at it and I'm like, oh, that's okay. Ah, oh, you know, all these connections started happening. And it was after I took Michael Kostroff's session live here in LA in the mid 2000s. And he used his famous catchphrase, "You're not getting the effing job anyway."
I have that card in my car.
It just changed everything because you've decoupled the outcome. And this is a mistake that people make when they set resolutions. They set resolutions about the outcome as opposed to about the journey or the joy or the process. And if you decouple booking the job from everything else that you do, it gets a lot less stressful, a lot less problematic, because you really get to concentrate on the joy of what you're doing. And I know that for some people, they're sitting there, you know what, F you, I got to put, you know, food on the table. I need to make money. Show me how to make money and I'll listen to you and your whole, you know, January resolution BS, right? Or in this case, VO BS.
Yes, yes.
I get that. Get that. You know, I get that you need to make money. But I'm telling you that if you give yourself all the tools that you need, eventually that will turn. That little dial will turn. And it will turn in ways that you don't. How many times have you done an audition and you've been given the job. Hey, you booked it. And you're like, wait, what? Did I? That you're not mistaken, right? You really do. Because I didn't think I did that good with the audition. I mean, I sent it off. It was like, okay, who knows?
Yeah,
we never know. If you can just like be surprised. Like I've always been surprised when I get a check. Oh right, I get paid.
Oh yeah,
for this.
You get paid for this.
Yeah, you know,
that's always a fun one.
Yeah,
we're talking with David H. Lawrence the 17th about you know, setting your goals and doing the things you need to achieve them as the year goes through. We're going to take a little break. If you've got a question for David based on all the stuff we're talking about, something specific or a comment, again, throw it in our chat room in Facebook Live or on YouTube Live, and we'll be addressing those questions in our next segment. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these very important messages. Don't go away.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
VoiceOverEssentials.com is happy to announce our VO recording sign winner. Who had the most creative use for the color codes? Benjamin Britton. And here's his entry. Green, currently taking a break. Feel free to wail, babble, yodel, and just get all that noise out. Blue, currently shaking my head while editing. Well, we need to redo that take. Red, currently embarrassing myself. Please no eavesdropping and keep the noise to a minimum. Yellow, talking to a client. I'm trying hard to convince them that I'm the one they want to hire for this gig. Shh, please. Purple, currently recording with live direction from the client. Now is definitely not the time to yodel. Please wait until the sign is green. Congrats, Ben. In other news, VoiceOver Essentials has the equally exciting new version of the fabulous MicPort Pro 3.0 with a limiter. With the next generation of the MicPort Pro, Sentrance raised the bar on portable recording. The new MicPort Pro has a built-in rechargeable battery and records to phones and tablets, in addition to laptops and desktop computers. With a host of professional features, MicPort Pro is versatile, easy to use, and travel-friendly. Get it now at voiceoveressentials.com.
Hey, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and we talk a lot in this business about moving forward with our career, getting more information. We often don't talk about simply getting started. It can be one of the most immovable objects in our life, getting out of our own way and just simply taking the first step. And if you're watching this podcast, VoiceOver Body Shop, for some tips on how to get started in voiceover, or to change something about your voiceover career, or to increase your knowledge in a certain area, check out VOHeroes.com's Getting Started in Voiceover. If you go to VOHeroes.com/start, you'll get all the information. It's really cheap, and I give you a lot to get started in the business, but you might also learn something if you've been in the voiceover business for a while. VOHeroes.com/start. That's VOHeroes.com/start.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
And well, we're back.
You're definitely consistent, David.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I might have done that live, or I might have recorded it earlier today. I might have. I'm just saying.
But I totally understand the pleasure of having a fixed setup that you can walk away from, and just within a few minutes you're back online. Like for me, I have a power strip on this desk that turns on the monitors, the lighting, all the outboard gear, like with a flick, and then you know, I'm ready to go. And to have equipment that's reliable enough that you know it's going to work is, that's such a big deal, you know, for your sanity. And then that's what allows you to be truly a creative actor, when you can let the equipment disappear from what you're doing. I know when we were starting, you and I were starting way back, the first time that you and I taught in the same place at the same time at SAG, was that in the Clint Eastwood? No. What's the name of that?
The Cagney Room. Yeah.
The main
beautiful boardroom meeting space in the SAG, now SAG-AFTRA. We taught before SAG and AFTRA merged.
Yes.
It's just this gorgeous facility within the SAG building, and it's lovely. Yeah, go ahead.
I know, and we both taught our own spiel about recording voiceover, you know. And I did one that was I still talked about acoustics, but I really went down the rat hole about acoustics, right?
Which you can do.
And then David came on and said, just forget all that stuff that he just told you. This is what you need to do. And he simplified everything. And I'm thinking, oh, come on, David.
I did come to you, to be fair, I did come to you before that. And I said to you, I'm going to get out there and go, all that you heard from him is bullshit.
No. You cleared the whole thing with me.
Yeah.
But as I've done this over the years, I have tried to embrace simplicity more and more and more, because as I work with more and more and more actors, I'm realizing how much the technology is a distraction and how difficult it is. You know, I've taken a little bit, a weeny bit of acting, voice acting, enough to know that it's a lot of work and it's a lot to learn to do it well.
Sure.
And if this stuff is distracting you, it's going to take it even to another level of difficulty to get into the character. So keeping it simple and having something that just works when you turn it on is everything.
Yeah. That's always been my thing. It's like, hit record, do your job, and not have to worry about that sort of thing. Well, we got a couple of questions from our vast worldwide audience that's watching it live. See, you watch the show live, you get to ask your questions real interactively here. First one is from Jim McNicholas from the YouTube channel. Has David found that those with great acting chops but don't have entrepreneurial business sense are less successful in the long run?
I could give you a very short answer or a very deep answer, and I'd like to do kind of a combination of both. The very short answer is...
So hybrid.
Of course. Of course. We all know actors that are amazing and have never gotten booked on a show, never done a film. They're like hidden gems. We've worked with them in black box theater on here in LA on Santa Monica, or off Broadway in New York, or, you know, community theater elsewhere. And we're like, man, why are you not on television? And I don't know what your perception may be of really successful actors that are really good, you know, the Meryl Streeps of the world and the Robert De Niro's of the world. You can rest assured that not a single super successful actor that you've ever seen or will see in the future is not also a great business person. Every single one of them knows this business backwards and forwards. Same thing with the Joe Cipriano's of the world. And the people in our business that are really super successful, they not only get how the business works because they've been open to learning about it, but they're really good at it. They don't fight against the notion. I before the pandemic, I used to take an actor out once a week. I had a calendar you could sign up for it. As soon as we can do this again, I will do it. I would take them out to lunch. They'd move new to LA. Actors are notoriously poor. They're notoriously hungry. So we go to lunch and pick my brain, love to talk to them. And I can't tell you how many times an actor or a voice talent would say to me, yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with the business. I just want to keep my art pure. I really don't want to touch the filthy lucre. I'll get an agent and they can take care of that. Yeah, well,
stock up on ramen noodles if you're going to do that.
That is absolutely not the way this works. And just because you're not very good at it now doesn't mean you won't be very good at it if you get training in it, if you learn how to do it, if you open yourself up to how the gatekeeping in our business works, how the production path works, how the audition to booking path works. You know, if you understand those things and you also make yourself aware of basic business practices like accounting and invoicing and billing and collecting, and, you know, it doesn't take up the vast majority of your time. If it does, awesome. That means you're getting a lot of work. But you can't not understand how the business works. Once you become super successful, you've got a team working with you. One of my good friends is Drew Carey, and he loves the business. He has a business manager and his team that handles a lot of the grunt work for this, but he loves the back and forth and the production partner work and the meetings and all that. If that's something that you just don't want to have anything to do with, I invite you to consider changing your mind about that. Because once you do understand it, it will also change your performance. And I know that makes you think, well, that's exactly what I don't want to do. I don't want it to sully my art. Well, okay. But if your art is hanging on the wall in your basement, as opposed to on the wall in the museum or in the art gallery where it can be sold, you know, how's that working out for you? That makes it a hobby, not a job or a business.
Exactly. Yeah, that's an excellent point, you know, and yeah. You know, just ask Van Gogh. Clearly he had his, you know, it was all about the art. And
this whole notion of art versus business goes back much further than Van Gogh. Did you go to the Immersive Van Gogh here in LA? Oh,
I did. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. And when you see the stories of how he had the exact same frustrations that we have today, and none of us so far, let's not go this far, have cut our ears off. to in protest, you know, but all of this, like Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, they had, you know, this was in the day of patrons, you know, and you don't, we don't want to get, this is nothing. Everything old is new again. And that same sort of like contention between art and commerce. You know, I teach four basic categories of content: the art, you know, our performances, the commerce, building your business around it, the science, the technology that we use, and the mindset, the way we keep our heads on straight. And mindset really helps you manage and understand and take advantage of all of the other three competing pieces of what goes into making our work great.
George, got the next question?
Yeah, from Mike Max Goldberg. If you make a resolution to improve your audition to booking ratio to your booking ratio in 2022, how do you continue to handle a rejection even after being shortlisted a multitude of times to alleviate the frustration? help poor Max.
I'm shaking my head because that's not the kind of resolution that you could ever possibly control,
right?
Yeah. And hone and refine. Improving your booking ratio is like saying, I'm going to improve my dating ratio, or I'm going to improve my lotto winning ratio. It's not a metric that you have direct control over. What I would say is give yourself something that you actually can win at. You know, give yourself the opportunity for victory. You can improve your ability to explore and find the best option for your auditions that serve the story, whatever the story is. If you're doing an audiobook audition, the story that's written for you. If you're doing a commercial, then it's the job that the viewer or the listener of the commercial is trying to get done. You know, cleaner clothes, food on the table for the kids, a great car, whatever it is that person that's consuming that story that's in that commercial. You know, make a resolution that gives you any sort of chance of success. Audition to booking ratio is a metric that you can reflect on, but not one that you can, I don't believe, not one that you can directly affect. You can only affect the process, not the outcome.
Yeah.
And eventually the outcome will be affected because of how you affect the process. And what I would say also is don't care. Don't care whether you book it. Don't care whether you're shortlisted. Don't care whether they pinned you. Don't care whether they put you on hold. Don't care. Say, oh, that's cool, and move on with your life. Same thing with the auditions. I have a ritual that I do. I have a ritual. I've determined I have a ritual about many things. but one of the rituals that I have after I do an audition, if I've printed out any paper for this, like if I've gone to a casting office or to a studio to do work, I make it a point out of the eyesight of the people that might hire me, and I take that script and I rip it into tiny little pieces, throw it away, and try my very best to never think of it again, ever. And that has helped me a great deal. That's also something that Michael Kostroff talks about in Go Get a Latte, find a friend, and don't talk about your audition. If the friend asks, how did it go? Just go, yeah, it's great. What's going on with you? Right. Deflect as quickly as possible so that you're not dwelling on it. Now, there are going to be some auditions that stick with you for days, for weeks, for life. I auditioned for a student film in 2004 that I still to this day think about and wish I had booked, because it eventually went on to win the Student Emmy for Best Production. And, you know, it was very well written, great script. I didn't get booked because I didn't have hair.
Disadvantage. And you can't control that.
You can't control that.
You never know why they're not. You never, in the end, you never really know why they booked the one that got the job necessarily.
Actually, you can. I don't mean to push back or contradict you, but
well, you're
when I booked Heroes. Heroes is a show that anybody who's seen me on television usually knows that was one of the biggest booking things of my career. And after the first season that I was on the show, there was a cast party, the wrap party for season 3. And I was at the Lucky Strikes bowling alley in Hollywood. And I was sitting in the room with Jason and his sister, who were the casting directors. And they said, you know why we brought you in for the audition, don't you? And I said, no, I have no idea. And it happened to be a student film that I had done a couple of years earlier, a scene from a student film. That's all I had in my reel at that time because I hadn't been booked on anything. And you said, yeah, you had that kind of like, Moulin Rouge circus ringmaster look with the mascara and the guyliner and the lip gloss and all that. And you look just creepy enough for us to think, yeah, let's give him a shot. You know?
Well, that worked out.
It worked out. It absolutely worked out. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like what we used to say in radio. Always be careful what you say. You never know who's listening.
Oh, my God.
How many people do we know have lost jobs because of that?
You probably already answered this.
This guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Can I tell the story?
Quickly, yes.
In Columbus, Ohio, 1978, I think it was, when Pope John I passed away after being in office as Pope, in office, you know, as Pope for like 31 days. He was very, very much. And in those days, I was just learning how to be a DJ, and everything I said was pukey and shouting,
yeah,
even if it was meant to be heartfelt. And this is so embarrassing. Came up in rotation. I played Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young. And over the intro of Only the Good Die Young, I say, this goes out to the memory of Pope John Paul I. He died too young for all of us, didn't he? WNCI. Okay, so.
How long did it take the program director to come walking in the studio with that one?
So the Catholic diocese was listening. Yeah. I was asked for my keys back the following Monday. So,
very good. Well, David, it is always a pleasure to have you on and showing us, the view from where you sit, and we always appreciate that. And of course, again, we always appreciate your support for our show, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, David.
Yeah. Again, if they want to get a hold of you, of course, if they watch the commercial, you know, it's voheroes.com.
Well, I was asked what I wanted for a lower third. There you go.
She's sharp.
She was on it. Yeah, there you go. Just pop over to voheroes.com/start. It's my getting started course. I put a lot of what we talked about here today in that moment. And do just risk failing. If I could leave you with one piece of advice. When you step up to the end of that diving board or on, you know, right about when you're about to open the door to go into a new room, do it. And don't be afraid of failure. Assume you're going to fail and assume you're going to learn so much from it. There's so much to be learned about failing, or you might just succeed. But either way, you're going to have a good time. You're not going to break anything. You're not going to hurt the population. You're going to learn something one way or the other. So take that step. Do it. You're an artist. Do it.
Excellent.
Jeff Holman, our very own Jeff Holman, says this: thank you for the year of videos every day. I watched everyone and I learned a lot from them. And Jeff Holman has been killing it this last year.
He certainly has.
That's great.
All righty. Thanks, David. Nice to see you. We'll talk soon.
Nice to see you.
All right. Yeah. We'll be right back to wrap things up and get ready for Tech Talk right after this.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources, like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
It's that time to thank our longtime sponsors, Source Elements, for supporting VoiceOver Body Shop. And they do that more than ever because they created 15-plus years ago an amazing tool for collaborating with other studios, and that is Source Connect. And there are so many things coming down the pipeline right now from competitors. I've seen demos of everything you can imagine. And the reason why you haven't heard much about them yet, and you're not using them yet, is because Source Connect is the best tool for the producers, the ones you're working with, the ones that you need to work with and gel with and become sort of a machined cog that doesn't ever need any oil, that just always is spinning and running smoothly. That's why Source Connect, I think, continues to be the dominant tool for this, because it works in their workflow, it's familiar, and it's established itself for so long. So what I'm saying is, if you're a voice actor who has not already taken the plunge, if you're not sure if you're ready for Source Connect, you could talk to Dan or I first. If you want to contact one of us, make sure we can assess that your studio is capable of producing quality audio that could be recorded real time by a studio. And if you're at that level, it's time to get started. Go to source-elements.com and get a 15-day free trial and get yourself up to speed. It's just an incredible tool, and it's going to elevate your game. And to say you have Source Connect is to say that you are a serious pro with a great studio who knows what they're doing. That's all there is to it. All right, let's get right back to the show right after this.
You're still watching VOBS?
Apparently you are. And we're glad
thanks, Howard.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you here.
The king of snark.
Yeah. Well, David, that was great stuff. It's always good to hear motivational stuff. And motivational stuff, it has to do with reality. And that's a lot of what he teaches.
Sometimes the graybeards have a lot to say that are really sage advice.
Yes, we do. Yeah,
I shaved mine a little bit before the show because I was like, whoa, that is looking too like you found me on a sailboat out in the harbor.
It doesn't get any better, trust me. Next week on the show, and we're about to do it if you want to watch it live, is Tech Talk number 72. We got lots of cool stuff to talk about, so stay tuned for that if you're watching live and ask your questions. And then, who knows what our next guest is going to be. I'll find somebody. I'll be sitting out there going, hey, you want to be on our show? You know, pretty simple. Who are our donors of the week?
Before I get to the donors, I just wanted to plug one little quick thing. I've started doing this thing called Office Hours. It's offered to anybody that's ever booked a service through George the Tech. I send you out a link, and I've also been sending you on our newsletter list. So if you're not on the newsletter list, make sure you are. But it's a private clubhouse room. I'm dabbling in using Clubhouse again. I guess that was my thing to try new for this year. And it seems to work well. We just have a 30-minute ask me anything tech discussion. And you can join that if you've ever been a client of us. If you don't know how to get on it, send me an email, george@georgethe.tech. I'll let you know how to access it. But cool. A new service to our customers. Come check it out. It's every Monday and Friday for 30 minutes. I always let you know what time. It's usually in the morning on Mondays and in the late afternoon on Fridays.
All righty. Well, our donors of the week, we'll start off with Philip Sapir,
Thomas Pinto,
Shelley Avellino,
my dad, George A. Whittem,
Brian Page, great actor, by the way,
Patty Givens,
Rob Ryder,
Greg Thomas,
a doctor voice. That's got to be Dr. Carlson, I believe.
Probably. Antland Productions as Uncle Roy Yokelson.
Shanna Pennington Baird.
Martha Kahn.
Don Griffith and
Trey Mosley.
All right. Great. Thank you all for your help in making sure that our show is technically perfect. Anyway.
We're getting closer and closer every
week.
That's
true. I know. One of these, after 11 years, we're going to get it eventually. Our sponsors, we need to thank them, of course. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
BOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos.
Thanks to Jeff Holman on our chat room duty and Facebook. Sumerlino, sharp as a tack tonight. Things are right where they need to be. No editing. That's the most important part when we put this up for replay. And, of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, we're going to reset for Tech Talk. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. If you've got tech questions, throw them in the chat room. We'll be happy to answer them. In the meantime, thanks for being with us for this part of the show. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Ooh, that was nice and sync. We'll see you in a little bit. Thanks for watching.